Wild Gardening Now with Carol Andrews. Carol is the president of the Wild Ones Minnesota Arrowhead Chapter, and she's got ideas about native plants for your yard and garden. Good morning, Carol. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good this morning. How about you, Chris?
Just fine. It's a cooler day today. It's a lovely day, though. It's nice to have a break from that heat.
It is. It's been a nice day. It was a nice weekend, and I got to mention, I went and tried out the Mesabi Trail Tour that you guys are always promoting on KUMD since it benefits Amper's Radio, and it was a lot of fun.
Oh, great. Wonderful. Yeah, it was really a nice weekend. A little rain yesterday morning, but we certainly need it, and I'm sure the native plants do as well.
That's true. And I like the 8 o'clock program on the Ojibwe peoples, and it's a great way to segue into talking about native plants. He was talking about honoring the earth, honoring the water, keeping the water clean, doing things that honor the other creatures that live on the earth, and native plants are all about that, about saying, hey, my yard is not just all about me, but it's about offering something for the butterflies and moths and birds and other things that couldn't go down to the bank and put in an offer on that particular piece of property. Mm-hmm. So I thought, this is a good time, believe it or not, to think ahead to parts of your yard that you might want to transform. If you have a lot of grass, more than you use right now, and by grass I don't mean native grasses, I mean lawn grass, and one way to think of it is if there's parts of your yard where the only time you go there is to mow it, that's often areas where maybe you could put that area into a native planting of any sort. You could plant a forest over time. You could put in a meadow, things like that. And there's a product out. I've talked on the show before about smothering lawn using a combination of newspaper and mulch or cardboard boxes and mulch and things like that. And that's a nice low-cost way to do it. But there's a product that my friend Dan Schutte and fellow Wild Ones member works up in Lake County has used quite successfully back when he worked at the North Shore school, called weed suppressant mat. Sometimes we call it pig mat because it's made in floodwood, so it's very local, and it's a biodegradable mulching blanket made out of processed wood fiber. And it was originally used as a bedding blanket for litters of piglets. So we've been calling it pig mat, but decided weed suppression mat, now that it's becoming more and more popular for that use, probably makes more sense because I'm not telling people that they should go out and raise pigs in their yard.
Okay.
And it comes in pretty big rolls, about 250 square feet each per roll, and there's shipping costs unless you want to go to floodwood and things like that. But this mat, instead of having the two-step of newspaper and mulch, it's basically everything in one that will cut out. It will let the water and the air get through the soil, which is good for the health of the microbes in the soil, while cutting off enough sunlight to suppress the growth of the grass that's there to start with. And if you put it down in August or September and just leave it right until spring of next year, you end up with a great planting bed, and you just pull holes in it at whatever spacing, usually about 12 inches, depends what you're planting, and plant right through it. And it kind of fades to tan, so it comes in tan. It comes in green, too, but Dan pointed out that doesn't really last in green, and the tan looks just as well or better. But I've seen how well it worked at his property. He just moved out of town up to Two Harbors, but when he lived on Gladstone, if people want to see this, if you go to this intersection in Lakeside in Duluth of Gladstone and 45th Avenue, there's three different houses with boulevards that have used this as part of transforming their boulevards into native plantings. And one of them is 3 years old, one of them is two, and one of them is just in its first year of planting. So you can see how it degrades over time.
The weed suppression mat, it feels like almost like a heavy cotton kind of linen cloth is sort of how it feels, right?
Right. Yep, and it comes in some different weights, but yeah, and it's just so fast the way you can roll it out. And you do need to secure it with metal staples that you can eventually take out, but to every 18 inches along the edge and about every 3 feet in the middle so that the wind can't pick it up, because you really need to keep no light getting through to the grass underneath it. But it works pretty well that way. And then over time, maybe the second summer, you pull the holes a little bit a little bit wider, and then, like I said, eventually it biodegrades completely on its own, and by that time, your plants are established and the roots are going crazy, so they're going to pop up all over the place by about the second, third year once they're really well established. And it helps hold the moisture in the soil as well.
Oh, yes, good point. And for people who are looking to transform that sort of traditional green lawn grass into something more native, do they start with low shrubs? Do they start with native grasses? What's the best way to sort of get that seeded to sort of make that transformation occur?
So the easiest way, like you mentioned seed, seed is a possibility, especially if you're dealing with a large area, but you wouldn't use the pig mat and seed. You'd use weed suppressant mat and plugs or, actual plants growing in 4-inch pots or six packs and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you mention trees and shrubs, the biggest thing to decide to start with is what do I want growing here? And if you decide trees and shrubs, the other thing to decide is how much work do I want to put into this and what look do you want? And the easiest thing to do to transform an area and keep it low maintenance and not feel like, oh, I need to learn all these different plants I'm planting, is to put in shrubs. You can only have to put one in every, say, 4 or 5 feet, and eventually they'll just get huge and be awesome habitat for birds and things like that. You can always do that and put, say, one or two types of plants, like large leaf aster, underneath it that can withstand sun and shade. And so over time, you'll get sort of a ground cover with shrubs. That's the lowest maintenance approach. But if you look at the gardens along Gladstone, I think it'll make a lot of people say, oh, geez, I want to plant these more meadow-like prairie-type flowers. They're just gorgeous all summer, and then you get a bigger variety of color and things like that. But it really depends what you're trying to do with the area. If you're maybe there's an area where you want to screen a view or you want to keep a view. So you got to think through all those aspects as you're going on. One thing I want to throw out there, though, is if people are interested in getting some of this, but they don't want to buy a big, huge piece or they want to coordinate with other people on shipping, is to send us an email and with Wild Ones Group, and it's wild.ones.arrowhead@gmail.com, and we could coordinate a shipment, get that to folks who are interested in it. So get a hold of, or actually, I think I said it wrong. It's arrowhead.wild.one@gmail.com.
Okay.
I had to flip open to that page. So arrowhead.wild.one.
Wonderful. Okay.
All right.
We'll have that info posted on the website as well.
Sounds good.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Carol. We appreciate the advice this morning.
Have a good week.
All right, take care. Carol Andrews with Wild Ones Minnesota Arrowhead Chapter. She joins us every other Monday for Wild Gardening with Carol Andrews.